God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
All right, very good. You've got a new set of message notes inside your worship guides. If you pull those out, take up your Bibles. I don't know who these are. Do they belong to somebody out there? Okay. So turn on your Bibles. All the scripture, with the exception, I think, of one passage, are inside those. If you don't have a Bible with you, we're going to jump right in here so that I can bring the Lord right to where your hearts are this morning. We're going to look at the true meaning, the real meaning of Easter. And it has nothing to do with secular things whatsoever. It has everything to do with our wonderful Lord Jesus. If you're visiting with us this morning, we approach the scripture in a historical and grammatical way. And we use the message notes to be able to take that part of the message that we pick up on, write our notes in, home with us. For those of you who are Christians, you've given yourself in a full way to the Lord Jesus Christ. In many ways, this is going to be, it's the sharing the gospel again with you. You can use these notes in a wonderful way in the lives of other people that you know that don't know the Lord Jesus, and share these things with them with the hope that they will also be joining you one day in the worship of the Lord here and or when it's time to go home to be with the Lord. For you newcomers, on the front part of your message notes, there are three essential questions. We want you to be, we want the scripture to be reinforced into your heart and mind. You see, the scripture is not something that a couple of guys put together here. This is a wonderful love letter, a wonderful book, 66 different books and authors that God the Holy Spirit put together, because it is God himself who breathed out the word of God. It is inerrant and it is authoritative. So we hope that you will be able to embrace this morning, that you've been prayed for, every single one of you, even those of you who are new and we don't know you. We've been praying for you as well. We want you to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in a very real way today. So looking at your notes, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when you think of Easter? Is it bunnies? Yes. Is it little chicks and little ducks? Is it lots of candy? You know, even the parents and the older folks like the candy. There's all that funky kind of green stuff that goes in a basket and all that kind of thing. You know, what is it that you think of? Easter egg hunt? You know, the kids are going to be doing that, but you can't go out and join them. You know, it's just for them today. If you come to my house later this afternoon, there'll be something for the adults. But whatever images come to mind, if you look at your notes, whatever image pop into your head, you know, the truth of Easter is so much greater than what one can actually comprehend. It's historical. It's the historical account of victory and redemption. This past Friday night, Good Friday, we had a really wonderful and sweet time together. And maybe next year, those of you that couldn't be with us this time, you can join us next time. But it's about victory and redemption. It's the day we celebrate Christ Jesus rising from the dead, literally rising from the dead. There are all kinds of witnesses who saw him after he was killed on the cross, buried, and raised again. There is literature that speaks about over 500 people seeing him after he was raised. If he wasn't raised, Christianity could have had a stake driven through its heart right after his burial, because the then Jewish Sadducees and Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish faith back then, all they had to do was go to the tomb, pull out his dead body, put it on a cart, and drag it through the streets of Jerusalem. That would have been the end of it. But they couldn't do that because he had risen. And he scared the heck out of these special forces Roman soldiers. You know, there was an earthquake, and this two-ton stone rolled away, and he came out. I mean, there is just all kinds of evidence to his being risen. And the fact that so many of us here, we know him personally. We meet with him in our Gnosko time every morning. We come to him and we have a deep personal experience with him. We enjoy him, and he loves being enjoyed. He walks with us throughout the day. And it is our hope, if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know what I'm talking about, that today might be the day of salvation for you. But looking back at your notes, what does this have to do with you? And why does it matter? Why does today really matter? Look back at your notes. Easter is the difference between life and death. It's the difference between life and death. Without Easter, we have no hope or meaning. The question I lay there before you as we're getting started is, what was Jesus of Nazareth's mission? The whole reason Jesus came to earth in the first place was not to celebrate his birth. He came to save us from death, damnation, and hell, and to give us an opportunity to start a new life. That's your fill-in, to start a new life with him. Now, I have to tell you about hell. I'm not, the church family will tell you, I'm not a hellfire, damnation kind of preacher, but nonetheless, it's true. There is hell, there is hellfire, there's damnation, there is torture for those that go to hell. And it is our greatest hope and desire for our friends, our family, our relatives, the people we work with, the people we go to school with, that they are not going to go to the alternative, but they will join us one day in heaven, serving him here on earth and enjoying being part of a loving church family. You see, we're all sinners. We're all sinners, meaning we all fall short of God's wonderful, wonderful, loving, and very high, perfect standard. If you look at Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It doesn't say some have fallen short. It doesn't say most have fallen short. It says all have fallen short, with one exception. Me, no. Me too. Also, the fact is this, and here's your fill-in. The punishment for sin is death. And not just physical death, but spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. Eternally separated from him. Yet because of God's unconditional love for us, he made a way for us to reach him. Now, this isn't in your notes. It's Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. So you might want to write that down or even turn there quickly in your Bibles. But it is here that the Holy Spirit made clear to the Ephesian church family and to us this morning, and within your hearing, as you will hear this, it says God decided in advance to adopt us into his family. The us is you. The us is all of you. The us is all those out there in the world. God wanted to adopt us into his own family. How? By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Bringing us to him. I had to hear the gospel about four times before I got it. And my heart was broken. And it would be then, with tears rolling down my cheeks, that I would want to confess my sins and repent and receive this wonderful, wonderful God-man, Jesus, as my personal Savior and Lord. The text goes on to say, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. This is his choice. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure to bring those of us who have said yes to himself. This is good stuff. But as I said, yet because of God's unconditional love, this love that seeks each one of your very best good, your highest good, at his expense, because of this love, he made a way for us to be able to reach out to him. That through Jesus, we who are willing could meet him. It's through Jesus who willingly died an agonizing, agonizing death on a cross to pay the price for your sins and mine. And he created not several ways to his Father. He created one way to his Father. For he made it very clear in John's Gospel in chapter 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. We don't come to him through Gautama, Buddha. We don't come to him through Muhammad. We don't come to him through Lord Krishna. We come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, paid the penalty for our sins, and was raised. So say with me aloud, would you? Jesus died in my place for my sins. Would you say that? Jesus died in my place for my sins. One more time. Jesus died in my place for my sins. But it didn't end there. Say with me, it didn't end there. It didn't end there. Tell the person next to you. It didn't end there. Jesus then conquered death by rising on the third day. I like the term Resurrection Sunday more than Easter Sunday. That just seems to ring the bell for me. That glorious day is what we call, or many call, Easter. The day that the bonds of sinfulness were lost. They fell off. Our sin was vanquished at that particular juncture. And this is the ultimate expression of Jesus' love for you and for me. To think all the things that I have done. I've violated all of Moses' law. I've violated more of the things that are not even listed there. And yet, he was willing to save me. He was willing to save me. Because he lives, you can also live forever with him in heaven. or without him. At the alternative location. If you make Jesus Lord, supreme boss, we're not used to lords and ladies and kings and so forth, but he is to be the supreme Lord, the boss over our lives. You are no longer condemned to spiritual death if he is this person over your life. You have hope not only for eternal life with Jesus, but today too, to enjoy him. There was a large group of people in the Family Life Center just a couple hours ago, and they were enjoying the Lord, his presence. They were all talking to him. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience, as it is every Sunday morning. So there on your notes, you see this other question. What does Easter have to do with you? What does it have to do with you? Everything. 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 So start your new life with Jesus today, some of you. Think about that. Think about starting your new life with him. You can have a real, very real, and lasting peace today through a relationship with Jesus. You see, Christianity is totally different from all of the other world religions. We're not a religion. We enter into a very real living relationship with God himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that takes place, we have this other wonderful relationship with this one God who manifests himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. He comes and he lives with us. And we can check in with him at any moment of any day or night. And he is there to give us instruction, to lead us, to be our guide. He is what we call our paraclete, the one who comes alongside. So looking back at your notes, start your steps, your four-step journey now. That's my encouragement if you have yet to honestly give your life to Christ. As I have shared multiple times, I thought I was a Christian before I was a Christian. My last name is Jewish, and it's Jewish because my adopted grandfather and grandmother adopted my dad, a full-blooded Scotsman. They were Jewish, but I'm not a Jew. I'm a Scotsman, and I'm not I'm not in Islam. I'm not in any other religion. But I thought, because my dog tags during the war said Methodist, I was a Christian. It's part of the Protestant branches of Christianity. But I wasn't even really a Methodist. I didn't go to the Methodist church. I'd been baptized as a baby in the Methodist church by two people, my parents, who were non-Christians, to appease my grandfather and grandmother, who were Methodist Christians. But I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know him at all. And if I had died during that war, I would have gone to the alternative. I guess I might have said something like, but it says Methodist. So what? So what? To become a Christian is to understand these four steps and know in your heart and in your mind that you have really traveled this short journey. Step one, God's purpose. What is God's purpose? It's peace and life. It is to bring you out of being an enemy of God and to give you a rich, rewarding life here, now, and forever. You say, well, I'm not an enemy of God. I don't have anything against him. Well, good for you. But he's got some stuff against you. It's called your sin. And if you keep your sin, well, you can pay for it. You can pay for it. It'll cost you your life, and you go to the alternative place. I suggest that you listen attentively and hear what our Heavenly Father really would like you to do. Because he has manifested a crazy love for all of us. A really deep, amazing love for all of us. Father God loves you and wants you to experience this peace with him and eternal life in the best way. Looking at your notes, the Bible says, and I go to the Bible because it is the breathed out word of God. It's inspired by him, and it is authoritative and inerrant. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, this letter is first sent to the church in Rome, not the church that's there now, but the church that was there in the first century. And it was meant for all of us. And it says here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified, we've been declared not guilty of our sin. Well, you just said, I'm a sinner. You are, and I am too. I'm a sinner who's been saved by grace. Are you? That's the question. But what he's saying here, since we've been justified by faith, many of us in this room, we have been declared not guilty because we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, our Savior, the Son of God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So many of us have peace with God. And that's sweet. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not through anything I do. It is through Christ that I have peace with God. It is through Christ that I can be forgiven my sins. It is through Christ that I get to enter into this relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have peace with God the Father through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16, John records this. He says, for God so loved the world, you and me, all those people outside these walls and going up into the mountains and down by the coast and across America, around the world. For God so loved the people of the world that he gave his only Son. His only Son. That used to mean something to me that was very important, but it means all the more to me now as a dad who had an only son. It means far more to me as I understand the nature and the emotional context of what our Heavenly Father lives in. He gave his son, family, and as I did not give my son on the freeway and have him killed on that freeway, nonetheless, my son died. I can't tell you, I cannot explain to you what that feels like and how it hangs on to you and how it hangs on to me to this very morning. I still weep. Most days, because I miss him so much. But I'll get to see him again. I'll get to see him again. Because he went through these four steps. And he is with our Lord Jesus. I don't know when I'm going to get to see him, but I'm going to get to see him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He let his son come into the world and to die for each of you. He let him die for the likes of me. I wouldn't die for me. But his son Jesus died for me. And he died for you. But he came, he gave us his only son that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, should not perish but have eternal life. In John's gospel again, in chapter 10 and verse 10, it says here, the thief, who's the thief? The dragon of old, you know, the devil, it's Satan. The thief comes only to steal and to kill. He wants your soul. He wants you to go to hell. You see, some people think Satan's already in hell. He's not there. He's not there. He's in the world. And he's seeking those that he can steal from and that he can kill and destroy. But the I there is Jesus. Jesus says, I came that they may have life. I came, he says, that you may have life, eternal life, an abundant life. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. What keeps us from having the life God planned for us? Look at your notes, step two. The problem. Mission control, we have a problem. Our separation from God, that's a problem. The fact is, God created us in his image. Now, God is spirit. We're not talking about, you know, he has these really chiseled, great looks and long, dark, wavy hair and blue eyes or big muscles and so forth. He's spirit. He's all powerful, all knowing, ever present, and on I can go in describing him, but he's spirit. He gave us a will and the freedom of choice. He gave us the ability to think. He gave us the ability to create things. He has given us characteristics of being able to love him and one another and to do all kinds of other things. This is in his image. He gave us a will and freedom of choice. We choose to disobey him. We choose to disobey him and go our own way, which is called sin. This separates us from God. The Bible says, look at your notes, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as I shared earlier. All of us fall short, not just a few of us, all of us, in Romans 3:23. But look here in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. We're going to get paid. I'm going to get paid for taking his name in vain. I'm going to get paid for stealing. I'm going to get paid back for dishonoring my mom and my dad. I'm going to get paid back for my sin. For the wages of sin is death. But this is where I like to major. See, I have to tell you the bad news so that you appreciate the good news. The good news here is, he tells us, but the free gift of God. You can't do anything to earn this. You can't go out and work five jobs and give him the paycheck from two of them. You can't do anything to earn this. He gives it by his grace. Unmerited favor. He gives us faith to be able to trust in what he's telling us here in these four steps. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift, the very free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, He's the gift. He's the gift. We need to go to Him. We need to receive Him. Our choice to sin separates us. Separates us from our Heavenly Father. People have tried many ways to bridge the gap between themselves and God. They think that, oh, you know, if I don't kick dogs, or I don't spritz water in the face of cats, or I'll be able to weather this. No, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, you see, there's nothing you can do. It's a gift. You have to receive it, though. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man. There is a way that seems right to a woman. There is a right that seems right, but its end is the way of death. Its end is the way of death. Well, I'm a good person, Ron. I was a good person too in some ways. Are you not a bad person in any way? Well, if I'm honest, are you honest? Well, not all the time. Well, there you go. You're a sinner. Isaiah, the prophet, he said this under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants us all to hear this. Some of you, you've heard it recently. Others of you, this is the first time you're going to hear it. But in Isaiah 59:2, he says, but your iniquities. I'd like to make the Bible personal because it's my Bible. And what he has to say here is to me. And what he has to say in here is to all of you, or most of you, most of the time. But he says here, Ron, but your iniquities, Ron, your sins. It is, Ron, your injustices, Ron, your crimes. It is your evils, Ron, have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Do you get that, Ron? Now, I know there's another Ron here. I'm not picking on you, Ron. This is me. No bridge reaches God except one. Step 3, your bridge. The cross. The cross. The cross of Calvary. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave on a morning like this morning. When it was really dark, when I got here shortly after 4 in the morning, it was really dark with the exception of the lights on around the building. Oh, and the lights were on the Family Life Center again. Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. When he did, he paid the penalty. He paid your penalty. He paid my penalty for our sin and bridged the gap between myself and Abba Father. He bridged the gap between yourselves and Abba. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it's wonderful. He says, for there is one God. How many gods?
One
God. And there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's it. That's it. 1 Peter chapter 3, the beginning of verse 18. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous. That means Jesus. Jesus for you and me. Jesus for you and me, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. God has provided the only way back to him. The only way back. I'm so glad I'm not God. You should be exceedingly happy I'm not God. I would have said, the heck with all of you, we're going to start over again. No, I wouldn't have even started over. I would have just made it so you doted on me, period. But here in this passage is, for Christ, our Lord Jesus, also suffered once for sin. That's what took place on that Good Friday. He went to the cross for you and me. We didn't even know him until when? A couple of years ago? Several years ago? He went to the cross for us 2,000 years ago. He knew us by name then. And he went to the cross because he knew Ron would never make it into heaven unless he had made a way. And Ron was smart enough, being the dummy that he is, to make the right choice. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. God has provided the only way back to him. And you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. Step four, our response. Receive Jesus. Receive Jesus. So many times people will say, well, I accepted Jesus. And that's fine. You know, I'm picking on you. I'm not making fun of you. But I prefer the word received Jesus. Because to think that I accepted Jesus, like, well, who the heck are you to make an acceptance of him? I received Jesus. We must trust and receive Jesus as Lord, supreme boss, master, and savior. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who did receive him, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, Yeshua, Jesus. Jesus means savior. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Many people think they're a child of God, but they've never received Jesus. Therefore, they are a creation of God, but they are not his child. They haven't been adopted into his family. We have to receive Jesus. Then we're adopted into his family. In Romans 10, verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. Melanie, Mona, Tanner, Damien, Alicia, if you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, that he went to the cross for your sin, you guys, you're in. You're saved. You're saved. Kathy, Michael, Kelly, Brett, Vicky, if you've confessed with your mouth that he is Lord, the Lord, your Savior, you're in. Ronald's out with my wife, but I know he did. And Charlie, Carol, if you believe in your heart these things and have confessed these things with your mouth, you're saved. And I know you are. I know you are. The question there in your notes is this: which side are you on? I mean, really, really. You look at your life and what are these first steps say about you? Is that you? You look in the mirror and you see, yeah, all four of those, that's me. And you've confessed with your mouth. You believe in your heart. There's no question whatsoever. You've shared this gospel with others. Which side are you on? The side with Jesus or without him? Yeah, circle one of those answers. You know, the first three times I heard the gospel, had this been presented to me, I would have circled here without. Without. No reason not to be honest at that time or any other time. Looking at your notes, here's how you can receive Jesus into your life. Admit your need. Real simple. Admit your need. Your fill in there is, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I stand here before all of you. Your pastor is a sinner. Imperfect. Not proud of it. But I'm a sinner. And I've been saved by grace. And he's made radical changes in my life. And some of you are praying he's going to make a few more radical changes. Looking back at your notes. Be willing to turn from your sin. Big word. Repent. Repent. I see John the Baptist down on the Jordan. Bouncing those guards from Herod, you know, in the water. Repent, repent. You want to go in a new direction. The third thing there is believe that Jesus Christ died for you. Personal level. He died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. You believe that? Just as I believe that Joe Biden is the president of the United States at this time. Just as I believe that Kathy Seidel has suffered with her husband for almost 54 years. I know it's true. Saved by faith. Saved by faith. Through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to control your life through the Holy Spirit. Receive him as Lord, supreme Lord over your life and Savior. Now, obviously, I don't know that all of you here are saved. My hope and my prayer, quite honestly, would be that I would have the opportunity to stand here before many, many people who have yet to make that decision. That is my heart's desire. I want to see others come like many of you who are saved by God's grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. That's my desire. So if you're here this morning and you have yet to do that, but you sense within you that there's something that goes on inside your being. Man, I haven't really done that. Oh, I went to church, and I was even an elder in another church. I was a Sunday school teacher, but I've never walked these four steps. I've never walked this journey, not really. And Jesus knows I haven't given myself in a full way to him. Should this be you this morning? I could not be happier that you're here, that you can hear, you know, that you're H-E-R-E, so that you can H-E-A-R what our Lord has said to you today. If you would like to receive him as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask us all to just bow our heads at this time. I'm going to pray a prayer. If that prayer fits you, then pray it with me and invite him into your life. Father God, thank you for loving me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I have failed to live up to your perfect standard. And I ask you for your forgiveness. I am truly sorry. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died for my sin on the cross, and that you resurrected him to life. I want to trust him. I want to trust him alone as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. Guide my life and help me to do your will. To do your will by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd like to share with you a couple of things that Jesus said. He said, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." That's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, and verses 32. And then in verse 33, he says, "But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny him before my Father who is in heaven." So if you prayed that prayer, when I prayed a similar prayer, I had to get up where Tommy is on the way back and walk all the way to the front and there to pray to invite Christ into my life. But you have just done that if you are that person who has come today and didn't know him fully, personally. So if you prayed that prayer to invite Christ into your life this morning, I'm just going to ask you, in declaring before men and women this morning, that you lift up your hand, that you just put up your hand, and that'll be your declaration that you prayed that prayer. Chalk, you prayed that prayer a long time ago. Is there? All right. In the back there, Tommy, I see three hands that came up. Praise God. You don't have to give it to the elder who lifted his hand and prays to the Lord. No, it was. All right, would you pray with me as we prepare to sing our last prayer that is to music to our Lord? Father, thank you so much for this morning and for all that it means to us who have known you for a short time or a very long time. We are so grateful, Father God, that you put your stamp of approval on all that your Son accomplished on the cross by raising him from the dead. We are so very grateful. Jesus' name is the name above all names, above all names. So, Father, we thank you for those that have made decisions this morning that they want to be on the right side. They want to be on Jesus' side. They want to grow closer to him and know him intimately, personally. That they want to walk with him and really see what he would want them to be a part of from this morning forward. So, Father, again, we are so grateful for the Lord Jesus. We are so grateful for the gift of sending the Holy Spirit to live with us who do know you and love you. Thank you so very much. Now may you do great and awesome things from this morning forward through these people who are your kids, adopted into your family as sons, as daughters, these people, Father, that want to serve you. Please, Father, may today continue to be, as we have seen, a day of resurrection power going across this country. More and more people come into faith in Jesus, and our country being changed to bear the marks of Christ, that we would share with everyone his love, his joy, that peace, patience, kindness, goodness, that we will be faithful as he has been faithful, that we will be people who are forgivers of other people who have sinned against us, and that we will humbly walk before you and before other people, that we will live humble, meek lives. For these things we ask together in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.